Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we have been discussing Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, who has told us that according to the way he sees it, there's no such thing as a real chi of the Araisa to do shechita on an oath, and the whole thing is only a derabbanan. And yesterday we asked some questions against him, and we were able to fend off any attacks yesterday. But today, we want to talk about another attack, and that is Toshma, right down off of the bottom, a couple of lines, Toshma. So take a look at this Mishnah that we had back in Zvachim, that seems to clearly say, not like Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, and implies that Yesh Shechita Le'Of Min HaTorah. Because what does it say there, remember, in the Mishnah? If a Kohen uses a knife to do Malika, and he doesn't use his fingernail, so then that bird is an actual nevela. And if he swallows it, it's going to be batami begadima betabliya. It is not a trefa that you shecht. It is actually a nevela. Now, according to Yitzchak ben Pinchas, why would it become a nevela? Basically, if you do malika with a sakin, so what's the problem? You're going to do the same thing with the sakin that you did with your fingernail, right? And with the fingernail, you first make it a trefa, and that was the standard malika, because you go through the mafreket below rov basar, and because of that, it's a trefa, but that's part of the standard malika, correct? In this case, you did not do the standard malika, but you did the equivalent of a shechita, right? Because remember, what was the reason that we said that you cannot do a shechita from the back of the neck? Because by definition, it's going to create a destroyed shechita, because the bones of the mafreket are going to cover the knife. So it's going to be a chalada. And if you do a malika, then you're pressing straight down, and therefore it's going to be a drusa, right? But if you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, there is no such thing as a pegam of a drusa or of a chaluda on an oath, because an oath doesn't really need shechita. And therefore, midiraisa, this thing could not be a nevela. It's a trefa that you shechted. Albeit, it wouldn't be a good shechita for a mammal. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, it's a good shechita for a bird, at least midiraisa. So then, if you're going to tell me, as Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas tells us, that you do not need a technical shechita for a bird, so then who cares? Even if you broke through the shidra mafreket, right? So you broke its spine and destroyed the spinal cord, and you broke its vertebrae. It doesn't make any difference, because all that you did was turn it into a trefa. I mean, obviously, I'd be able to eat this thing, but if you then continue to puncture the simanim with the knife, well, that's the equivalent of doing a shechita, according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, and a shechita is metaher midei nevela. So why wouldn't the knife in the malika be sufficient to be metaher midei nevela in a, so to speak, shechita, which doesn't really exist for birds? It's a brilliant question. Answers the Gemara that there's no answer to this question, meaning that, of course, that Mishnah in Zvachim is clearly not like Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas. But that's not fatal for Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, because there is another Shita of the Tanoim that agrees with him. Where is that? In the Braita. Rabbi Elazar HaKafar Beribi Omer Ma Talmud Lomar Ach Kasher Yechelat Atzvi V'Ta'ayot. What? Remember, we've got somebody who is not muted. Please mute yourself. Now, remember what this is about. We just talked about this recently. Etzvi v'ayal are types of chayot, right? Not to be confused with an ayol, generally translated as an antelope or a hart. So, when you have psulei hamukdashim, the Torah says, you know, you can eat it, hatamei v'hatahor yachtov kitzvi v'chayo. Now, I don't understand. It's enough to say in the pasuk, you can eat it, whether it's tamei or tahor. Why do you have to throw in a comparison to tzvi v'chayo, which doesn't teach us a darn thing? What do we learn from tzvi v'chayo? So, asks Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, can you tell me one thing that we learn out of Tzvi V'Ayal? Obviously, this is one of those famous occasions, and this is a rule. This is something that seems, according to the simple reading of the pasuk, it seems to be coming to teach you something. Yes, it'll be just like the Tzvi Vayal. You know what the din is by the Tzvi Vayal, but I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about. So when that happens, we understand that what the pasuk is doing is actually making a hekesh, and it's comparing Ksuli HaMukdashim to Tzvi Vayal, and therefore it's teaching us something about the Tzvi Vayal, not teaching us about the Psulei HaMukdashim. So it's Makish Tzvi Vayal Psulei HaMukdashim, just like Psulei HaMukdashim have to be shechted. So that's a given, because it says V'zavachtam Yibikorcha right there in that pasuk, immediately before that pasuk. So that means that for Yibikorcha and Mitzonecha, that you know you need Shechita for. But it never said in the Torah you need Shechita for wild animals, for Chayot. So too, this is coming to teach me, Tzvi Vayal does require Shechita. However, continues Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Baribi, note that we only have this extension of the dinim of Shechita to Tzvi Vayal, which are Chayot. We don't have them for birds. So, Of, Ein Lo Shechita Min HaTorah, Elami Divrei Sofrim. So in other words, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas was simply saying exactly what we find Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Baribi says. And the Mishnah, indeed, in Zvachim is not going like him. So who is the other Tana that's arguing on Rabbi Elazar HaKapar? And he would be the Tana from Zvachim, or he would be, as Rashi explains, for some reason, which is a difficult question, he would be the one who said what we said before, that if you need the dam, you should bedavka stab it, and that way you could use the dam. Who is that Tana? It's Rebbe, the Tanya. Rebbe Omer, Zavachta ka'asher tziviticha. What does the term, what an amazing pasuk, because if it were ever unclear to you that there is a teresh ba'al peh, this should knock that out of your considerations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, do it the way I told you. Whoa. How am I supposed to know the way you told me? Don't you have to write it down? There's no written record. That's the point. There doesn't need to be a written record. So you see from here that there was a list of definitions for Shechita. I'm not going to burden you over here in the Torah Shebiksav and teach you over Maseches Chulin in the Torah Shebiksav. You crazy? But you've got to do it. Kasher Tziviticha. What does that teach us? Milame, that teaches us that all these halachas, Moshe was explained that he has to shecht the veshet and the kone, and he has to shecht rov of one of those, be'ov, and he needs to shecht rov of shnayim, be'vehima, and all of that is kasher tziviticha, the beautiful Chassidish of art from Tosfos over here, who says, absolutal. It's because the word ka'asher actually is asher, is olive, which is echad be'ov, shin is shnayim bibehema, resh is rubai shel echad kamayu, and the word kasher read backwards as an acronym is rubo shel echad kamohu, ka'asher. That's adorable. So therefore, the kasher tziviticha is our first chassidish vort. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Echad ba'of. So, we said if you shecht one of the simon, when it comes to an of, that would be sufficient. Does it matter which one? Says Reb Nachman, it just says one, whatever one, doesn't matter. So, oveshet okane, it doesn't make any difference. Rav Ada Bar Abba says, no. It means dafka the veshet. Because remember, there's a big difference between a veshet and a kana. A kana can actually be cut halfway and still not be a treifa. So it's really not sensitive in the same way that the veshet is to its being cut. So if the Torah is telling you one, it means the one. Remember what it was that Kimat Shachav, as the Melech Plishtim says to Avram Avinu, Kimat Shachav Achad Ha'am. What did he mean? The greatest one of the people, namely me, the king. So when we use the word echad, it's the way in which you would refer to the most chashuv one. It's as if it's ha-echad, the Mr. Special. And therefore, it's referring to the special simen, which is the sensitive veshet, but not the kana. So Reb Nachman says it means either veshet or kana. Look, the Mishnah says one, okay? One means one. Reva echad is kultu. Revada barava omar, veshet velo kana. Echad means hameyuchad, that special one, which would be the more sensitive veshet. That's what requires the shechita, and you would be yotzi just with one. Fine. Her question is, what exactly would be the din? Take a look at this halacha, and you'll see that Reb Nachman doesn't make any sense. Reb Nachman says either one. Now, how in the world can this following brayta make sense according to that? It says, shechatet haveshet, you went ahead and you shechted the veshet of a bird, and then after you shechted the veshet, nishmeta hagargeret. So then, the simen of the kana was torn away. Remember that nishmeta means that it was akur from its place where it's connected with connective tissue to cartilage or to bone. And in this case, it was torn away from its connection to the jaw. So then it doesn't matter. Kishera. But what if first nishmeta hagageret and then you shecht the veshet? Then it's psula. So, okay, why exactly is it psula? Remember, this was the big issue that we had. This was what we discussed with Moshe Reuven. The big issue that we had before. This concept of the nishmata, which Rashi puts together with Akiras HaSimonim, with the Sakin Paguma, and so on. Is it a problem in the neck, like we learned before? A neck with a gargaret shmuta is not a neck that's kosher for shechita. It has nothing to do with it being a treifa. Or is this a problem in an incomplete shechita? Okay, but the point is that there, for sure, if the gargaret was shmuta before, it's psula. So either it's psula because, as Rashi's been claiming all along, this is when we first met those dinim of Akira and so on, back on Daf Yud, Rashi said it makes it into a treifa. Anyway, everybody else explains that no, it doesn't make it to a treifa. It's that it's just there's no neck to shech. So then the shechita is possible. If he first shechted the veshet, and then after checking, remember we go back to check the simanim, and he sees the nimtzeit agargeret shmuta. He sees that somehow or other the gargeret, the kana, the trachea had been pulled off. Now there's no way to tell whether that happened before the shechita or happened after the shechita. Any yodea im kodem shechita nishmeta, im liachar shechita nishmeta. This actually came up, was brought to Beis Din, and they paskened. Zeh haya ma'aseh, v'omru, kol safek b'shechita psula. Now, we're familiar with this because of the cheskas iser that we learned before. Remember, according to Rav Huna, and we have a cheskas iser of einar zvucha. It was a whole discussion we had before, as to explain. Is it an avrim and a chai? Is that the problem? Like Rashi explained, I'm just reminding you things as we go along, so it shouldn't be forgotten. Or was it a chazaka, a cheskas einar zvucha? And therefore, if it's now dead and it's seen as a vulcha, so then that would turn it into a cheskas nevela. And that was also a question. Can you be machzik from one type of iser to another type of iser? All wonderful kinds of issues that have impact across all of Shas. In any event, so what they told him is, look, if it's a suffix, whether the shechita was good, then you're stuck. There's nothing to do. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think it's a coincidence over here that it doesn't mention even once the chance that maybe you cut the shechita you did in the gargaret, and then you found that the veshet was detached, right? And it doesn't say that. Now, how come in every single example, it only talks about the shechita, the veshet, huh? I'll tell you why. Because there ain't no such thing as doing a shechita in just the gargaret. And it's the vesha that needed to be shechted. And that's why ilu shechita begargaret lo katani. Notice that we carefully avoid the opposite case. And we don't talk about a case where you did the shechita in the kana. And then you found that the vesha was detached. Now tell me, is that a coincidence, Reb Nachman? No. It's because there is no way to do a shechita on the kana alone. Nah, that's not why. The reason why, says Reb Nachman, is because the Gargaris is Avida Leishtamuti, for heaven's sakes. You show me how easy it is to pull an esophagus off of the jaw. That is very difficult. Masha Enkein, the kona, with its little rings and its dryer pipe, is very easy to detach in comparison to the kveshet. So, Mamela, the gargaret is avida lishtamut. It happens quite often that indeed a trachea is detached. And therefore, we talk about a case that is a norm. I mean, it would be funny to talk about an esophagus pulling off. And therefore, that's why we talked about it. But you can't derive from there that there's no shchita in the kana. Absolutely not. Okay. Tashma. Shachat. I don't know whether we can actually sit back. It does say in the pasuk, "Lo ta'amod adam riecha," and it looks to me like Moshe Reuven is drinking Pepsi. Now, I would never, because okay, it only looks like that. Whew, you had me nervous. It shouldn't be chas v'sholom, you know, a netiya to suicide or anything like that.
Coffee.
Okay. So Tashma. Shachat shnei chatzai simanim ba'of. Now, suppose you cut half of both simanim. Okay, so last I heard, one half plus one half equals one. Ha! And the Mishnah said, if you shech one in a bird, that's okay. So now, the Braita wants to make it very clear to us, no. Two halves do not equal a whole. So a half of a veshet and a half of a kona does not equal one shchita. And therefore, the shchita is possible. Now, obviously, if you're talking about a mammal where you have to cut both simanim, so there for sure, I wouldn't even have any hava meat. You can add a half and a half. What good would that do me? So ein tzarich lomar bivheima. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, where Rabbi Yehuda says, remember that when you shecht a bird, it's not going to be enough to shech just the simen. You have to shech the veshet and the vridim. What? Why did he only talk about the veshet? If you can actually choose either one, so then why didn't he just say, achi yishchot et avridim? Why does he specify, achi yishchot et veshet et avridim? So apparently, Reb Nachman, again, you see from here, you cannot shecht a kona. You have to shecht. If you're shechting one, that one has got to be the veshet. Nah, says Reb Nachman, this is also logistics. It's because since the veshet is close to the vridim, so he talks about the way that you would shecht the veshet and the vridim. So that would make sense. Okay, this is a little bit of a problem because remember, we learned before that according to the Rambam, the vridim are actually the carotid artery, and it's not referring, therefore, to the jugular vein, which makes sense in the Gemara, but the Rambam's pshat doesn't make so much sense. Okay, but in any event, it's only a logistic, and it's because the veshet is somuch to the vridim. Tashma, shochat chatzi gargaret. Now, let me ask something else. Here, I got a problem with Rav Ada Bar Ava. Actually, this is a riot to Reb Nachman. So it says over here, if you shecht half of the kona, and then you're shohet. Now, what is the shiur of shehiya in a shechita? The shiur of shehiya is a shiur kidei shechita, the amount of time that it would take you to do a full shechita. We'll talk about that later when we get to the dinim of shehiya. So, v'shahar kidei shechita acheret, and that's the requisite time for passeling a shchita. This does not passel the shchita, my friends. If you then finish up and you do the whole thing, that extra little millimeter shchita tokshira, it's a perfectly kosher shchita. Why? Because a shehiya only passels if the shehiya leaves the animal that you're shechting, leaves it as a trefa. And you never finish the shchita, and the shchita causes the tarfus in the middle of a shchita. The shehiya causes a tarfus. But if you shechted only the kona, and you only did half, then that doesn't cause any problems. Because a kona, remember, can be half cut, and still be completely kosher. It's only if it's a rov that we've got a problem with treifas. Now, it says over here that if you stop before you hit the rov and then you finish, I mean, that certainly sounds like, and then you finish shechting the kana, right? You slit halfway, and then you finish one more millimeter. When you finish that last millimeter, even though it took you an hour between the first slit and the last millimeter, it would be kosher. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
If you go in my room and put this next to my bed.
Do I hear the sound of the big N? A sound without a picture? To try to torture us?
Sorry, Rebbe. On the way.
You mean it wasn't the kashem?
I do have one, but I'm waiting till the end.
You mean it was just a pocket dial? No. Oh my gosh.
It was getting you ready.
Okay. Take care, sweetie. We look forward to the whole thing. Anyway, so it seems to be saying, my gamra, gamra le gargaret, right? I mean, so for sure, according to Ravada Barava, this is not a shechita. How can you be gomer le gargaret? You'd have to be gomer the veshet. So apparently Rav Adbar Ava is wrong, and you can actually do a shechita of an oaf through a gargaret alone. Not necessarily. I mean, maybe it's talking about a behema. And when it says gemara, it means gemara l'shechita. The whole shechita kula you finish. What makes you think it's talking about a bird and only one? It's not a rye. I mean, yes, I agree. It certainly is more mashma the way you said it, but it's certainly not going to be deicha Rav Adbar Ava. Okay, listen to this, Braita. This definitely sounds like it cannot work out according to Rav Adbar Ava. The Braita says, let's say you start off with a chatzi kana pogrom. So half of the kana was already sliced through. Okay, they bring it into the sheikhet. He sees only half of it was sliced, so there's no problem of tarfas. And he adds a tiny little bit, he adds another millimeter, and he now makes it a full shechita of rov. It's kosher. Now, I'm assuming this is talking about an oaf, right? And he finished the shechita, meaning the chatzi kana pogrom. When it says gemaro, it means he was gomer the shechita of the kana, and that's all you need. But according to Rav Adbar Ava, that's not all you need. It does not do a shechita on an oaf if it's only a kana. No, I'll tell you the same answer I told you before. It could be talking about a mammal, and it's referring to behema. And when it says gemaro, it means you finish the whole thing, that additional little piece, plus, obviously, by doing the rest, the rov of the veshet. Okay, what about this? I got another problem with Rav Adbar Ava. Tashma, I got a really serious problem. We had this brighter before. Keitzad mokin chatata ov. Chotech shidra umafreket belov rov basar. Remember this. You have to avoid putting your thumb through the mafreket with rov of the basar. Why? Because that would be nevela and it would be metame bebet ablia. So if it became a nevela, if it's dead, you're Omed Umelek. Eshtomem Kishachada. What indeed is the explanation? And this was the explanation, that you make sure that you don't cut through the Rov Basar, so it doesn't make it an Avela. And then, afterwards, you Yigiel Veshet Olakana. Now look, I mean, I can read very clearly. Veshet Olakana. Did you get that? Twice. Veshet Okana. Excuse me, Rav Adbar Ava, what do you mean Veshet Okana? I thought you can only take away the life of a bird with the veshet. Here it says veshet okana. And it says once you get to the veshet okana, you cut either one. Hey, either one. Chotech siman echad. I mean, man, you can't spell it out better than this. Uba'ola, of course, if it was a karbanayla, then because of the mitzvah of Yavdil, so then you need to cut through both, shnayim or rov shnayim. But in the case of the chatas ha'of, it says one is enough. This definitely slams Rav Adbar Ava. Checkmate. Tiyufta the Rav Adbar Ava. Tiyufta. Anyway, what do you think the din is? What? Wait a minute. Did I just say checkmate or did I not? What are you telling me, my Havi'ala? As if we left this wide open. We didn't leave this wide open. What a sneaky attack. My Havi'ala. What do you mean, my Havi'ala? We just said, get a gomrit. You can do either one, and we knocked out Rav Adbar Ava. Ah, not necessarily. because you cannot bring a raya from a malika to a shechita. Why not? Because over there, you're cutting through the shidra and the mafreket before you cut through the kana. Now, don't you think that maybe a bird without a spinal cord might give up its life a little faster than a bird with a spinal cord? So, okay, what are you going to bring a raya to a shechita from a malika where you already cut through the shidra and mafreket? So I'm asking you, what do you think, really? Is Rav Adar Bar Rava still supportable when it comes to shechita or not? Okay, I'm going to bring you an actual case of a halacha lamaisa, in which tashma, there was a duck. And this duck is actually, was a nice little pet in Rava's house, and they found it with blood staining its neck. Ata, it once came into the house, kime masmes kue dama. And now they wanted to know, oy vavoy, are we supposed to continue keeping this as a pet and you can never eat it? I thought all pets were meant to be eaten. This is one of the difficulties of being a farmer. Anyway, so what do we do? How can I possibly find out why its bloodied neck is that caused by an actual tarfus? And did it hit itself on something that affected the simanim? This is a machlokas, actually. Is the problem over here, as Rashi explains, that we're worried only about whether the cut that caused the bleeding, whether that cut affected the simanim, or, as Tysus explains, no, we're concerned that maybe an animal caused it to be a trefa, and that would actually, as we're going to see later on, it's not just the hole that's the problem, it's even if any of the impact of the claws, which causes a disintegration of tissues that you can note on the surface, and even without a hole, you can note that this is ultimately going to break. That makes it a trefa, meaning literally a trefa by an animal. So, okay, well, we'll get to this in Eilu Trefas, but I just want to point out that's not 100% clear. Rashi says we don't need to worry about its being attacked. I mean, after all, there it is in Rava's house, puttering around like it always does, wasn't attacked. So the question is, did it catch its neck on something sharp and therefore cause a tarfus? So Rava said, I don't know what to do. I can't figure out how to do a bedika. I'll tell you why. If I shecht it and then I do a post-mortem on this duck, how do I know that I didn't shecht it exactly where the hole was that the barbed wire fence would have put into its neck? So, and there's no way to test it after I already shechted it. Shall I first do the bedika and then shecht it? So how could I do that? I could simply remove carefully the skin around the neck, take the esophagus, like we said before, you can move the esophagus back around to the back. We talk about malika, so I'll take the esophagus, and I'll look it over carefully to see if it has a hole in it. No, I can't. The only problem here is the esophagus, because if you're talking about the kana, it would have to be rove, and that is easily seen. I don't have to do a careful check. You cannot check the esophagus from the outside, because from the outside, the esophagus is red. It's only on the inside that the covering of the lumen is white. And there, a red spot would show up very clearly, according to Tosis, being the simen of the trephus, and according to Rashi, being the simen of the puncture. So it would leave a little bloody spot. So you can only do that from the inside of the veshet. Well, how am I going to get to the inside of the veshet without shechting it? Omar Rava, veshet ain lo bedika at all. Mi bachutz, ela mi bifnim. So what would we do? So Rav Yosef, Rava's son, Omar le Rav Yosef, hey, daddy, what's the problem? Let's shech the kone. You can shech the kone, it's not slit. So nishkate le kone, and that way we'll make it a kosher duck. Once it's a kosher duck, we can now open it up, check the veshet by turning it inside out. Vada. Lafhua Leveshet, turn the Veshet inside out, and then check it. What's wrong with that? And Rava said, ha-ha, my genius son. Brilliant. Exactly what I was hoping to hear. Chachim Yosef Bri Betrefus Rebbe Yochanan. You remember Shmuel used to send all of those camel loads, Yudgimel. We didn't get there yet, actually. But in any event, he used to send these trefus to Rebbe Yochanan, and Rebbe Yochanan was like the authority on trefus. Ah, my boy Yosef is the best. It's like asking Rebbe Yochanan. Okay. Anyway, Alma, but you see from here, very clearly, that there was no concern, because, I mean, Rava didn't say, oi, silly boy, you cannot shech just the kone, because Ravada Barava says you can only shech the veshet. He didn't tell him that. He said, excellent. So you see that in practical terms, there was absolutely no concern for Ravada Barava's approach that you must shech the veshet. And for sure, we see that Ravada Barava is not the halacha when it comes neither to, which we saw from the Brisa, neither b'melika or b'shita. Now let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So the next piece of the Mishnah has Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda says you have to shecht the vridim. Now, it's sort of weird because shechting the vridim would mean that you've got to use, you know, your shechita knife, and you got to be moving back and forth. You can't just put something through the vridim, and that would mean that there's dinim of shechita on the vridim. I mean, I thought that shechita, by definition, was a function of these life-supporting connections to the outside world. And there's two life-supporting connections to the outside world, and that is nourishment and oxygen. So those are the things that shechita is about. As far as blood is concerned, the vridim, I mean, that's you carry around your ocean with you. If you're a land animal or a bird, and therefore, why in the world would I need to shech the vridim? It doesn't make any sense. Cutting through the vridim is a nice way to murder someone, but it doesn't actually cut him off from the external world. It's his death that cuts him off, but there's no direct impact on the connection to the outside. So how could it mean that you actually have to shech the vridim? Amar Rav Chista, okay, first of all, let me explain something to you. He's certainly not talking about shechita. He wasn't even talking about a case of a mammal. Rav Yehuda was only talking about birds. And the reason he was talking about birds is because of barbecues. And birds are usually barbecued. Walk by any of those shawarma stores, you know, and they're barbecuing that turkey. So birds are barbecued whole. That's the point. And mammals, on the other hand, are butchered and wrapped in cellophane and then put a price on the top. I mean, why would he say you have to shech the vridim just for your QR code? So therefore, he's obviously talking about a bird. So hovetzoleo kulo ke'echad, since it's roasted whole, there's a problem. And that is, if it's roasted whole, you cannot properly get its blood out of it if it didn't have a cut through the vridim, which will allow the blood to dribble out. But if it wasn't, it's basically still a perfectly sealed circulatory system. And all you did was cut through the veshet and the kone, and then you put the bird into broil. You're going to broil it in its blood. And there's no way to be, what are you going to do, pour a little salt on it? What's that going to do with a sealed circulatory system? And therefore, you've got to cut through the vridim in order to avoid being over on the Isser of Dam. It has nothing to do with shechita whatsoever. Wait, you're telling me the time in Reb Yehuda Mishum Dam? You're taking for granted that the issue over here is only about blood. But how do you explain the Mishnah? It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at she yishchot. Can you read? I mean, he says, you have to shech the vridim. Now, why would he say you have to shech the vridim if you don't need to shech the vridim? You only need to open the vridim. It's ridiculous to use that word, shecht, for what purpose? And here it says quite clearly in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at she yishchot at the vridim. So obviously it's not because of dam. No, what he meant was, Achi Yin Kovetav. He just meant, you've got to puncture those reading. The reason he said it this way was in order to get you to realize that you can't do this at any time. You have to do it at the time that you do the shechita. If you shecht a bird, put it in the freezer, and then you make a hole in the freedom. Now, how do you think that's going to help the blood to get out? It's not going to get out once it's cold. So therefore, he said shecht at the time of shechita, while this bird is warm and its blood will drain, that's when you should do the nekiva of the vridim. So what he meant was, mayachi shchot, achi yinkov, to make a hole, bisha'at shechita, while the animal, the bird, is warm. And that way the blood is going to drain. Tashma? Here it says, Beferish in a Brighton, not like Reb Chista. Reb Chista is claiming that this is not a din in Shechita at all. That's what you're saying. And we'll take a look at the Brighton. Vridim b'Shechita. Give it Reb Yehuda. So how can you say that it's just to get a hole in them? No, it means the same thing. Vridim tzorech l'nakvan b'sha'at Shechita. Give it Reb Yehuda. I've already explained to you what Reb Yehuda is trying to do. He wants to make the halakha l'maisa very clear. You need to have a hole in there at the time that the blood is still not coagulated, it's not cooled, so it's difficult. It becomes much thicker. It needs to be b'sha'at Shechita. Tashma, how about this? This seems to be against Rav Chista's explanation. It says in the Braita that the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, Me'achar shelo huskru vridim elo lohotzi mehem dam. I mean, as far as we know, the only purpose in vridim is that they are containers of blood. So, what's the difference if you do it b'shechita or you cut it through whatever, making a hole in it with a puncturing tool of some kind? Mali b'shechita, mali shelo b'shechita. Now, if they said that to Reb Yehuda, that means that they understood what Reb Yehuda to be saying was, you really need shechita, right? Because, I mean, otherwise, what are they asking him? Michlal de Reb Yehuda. Apparently, Reb Yehuda himself is not the way that Reb Chista claimed. Reb Yehuda himself seems to hold that there's a concept of actual shechita. So, Michlal de Reb Yehuda sever b'shechita. So, Reb Chista is clearly wrong. It's not about dam. No, it's the same deal. Hachik amrele. They said to Reb Yehuda, Mali lenakvan b'sha'at shechita, or mali lenakvan shelo b'sha'at shechita. Why are you making such a big deal and always talking about the vridim in the context of shechita? If all you need to do is take out the dam, why do we mention shechita? And that's where Rav Yehuda basically explained. I mean, we understand that that's what he meant. For husavar b'sha'at shechita ati dam dechayin. At the time of the shechita, the blood is still warm. And because of that, it will drain from the bird. But shelo b'sha'at shechita lo atidam. Because at this point, korir, it's cold, and therefore it is much thicker and may even be partially congealed. Actually, there was Reb Yirmiyah. He hadn't heard Reb Chista, that Reb Yehuda was only talking about a din, not of shechita, but he took it seriously. He said, Reb Yehuda says you need shechita. And he didn't hear all of these pirushim of Reb Chista that he just meant b'sha'at shechita. So Reb Yirmiyah asked, taking Reb Yehuda literally, he asked, well, according to Reb Yehuda, that you need an actual shechita on the vridim, what would be the din if you did a shehiya? Or if you did a drisa? Would that be a psul in the shechitas havridim? Or are shehiya and drisa only psulim in the kana and the veshet? Mao, what would be the din? And there, Amar Le'ahu Saba, we had that famous old man who shows up in moments where people are about to make a serious error. And the old man said, Hachi Omar Rabbi Elazar, or some say, the Saba said to Rabbi Elazar, I mean, you know, Rabbi Yirmiyah himself maybe wouldn't see Elio Hanavi, so he wouldn't hear the answer of the famous old man. So some say he said it to Rabbi Elazar. Hochi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you don't need shechita according to Rabbi Yehuda. Minakvan bekotz, you could take a thorn from your rose bush in the garden and make a hole, and they're kosher. And there's no need to do an actual shechita. So do we have a riot Rif Chisda anywhere? We do indeed. We have a Braita that learns it like Rif Chisda, and that it's not a din in, this is, we had the Braita, of course, on the Amud Aleph. So Tanya Kavasid Rif Chisda, Shachat Shnei Chatzai Simanim Ba'of. So let's say, you have two halves. We talked about this before in Amud Aleph. If you have two halves of a bird do not equal a whole. So Shachat Shnei Chatzai Simanim Ba'of. And for sure, if you were Shachat Bivheima, for sure, in those cases, it's a posel Shchita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'of achi yishchut et haveshet v'tavridim. So remember, we brought this as a raya on Amud Aleph, that the shlita was beveshet, and we ended up saying that's just for logistics. Anyway, but it says over here that Rav Yehuda was only talking about an oaf. He says, Rav Yehuda Omer be'of. And actually, it was Rav Chisda. He was the one that was insisting that it was only a din in oaf, not a din in shchita, and it was because ofot are usually broiled whole, barbecued. And because of that, it's clear that Rav Chisda is right. It's a problem of dam in ofot. Now, we have a very strange machlokes. The Mishnah said, if you shecht half of one simen in a bird, so half of both in a mammal, the shechita is possible. We've got this weird machlokas here between Rav and Rav Kahana that just seems off the wall. Itma. Rav Amar, mechza al mechza is kerov. My God. So when you get directly to the half mark, that's the equivalent of a rov. And Rav Kahana says, mechza al mechza eno kerov. And this is in classic Kahanist fashion. There's no such thing as doing things by halves. You either do it or you don't do it. So therefore, if you do only a half, that's not the same thing as doing the rov. So now we understood that what it was saying is something that seems to be impossible from everything that we've been learning. That if Rav says Mechza al Mechza Kirov, what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to Moshe, what we said Rov Echad, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Hachi Omer Le'Rachmana LeMoshe, don't leave over half of that simen unshechted. So therefore, if you didn't leave over most of it, so then that's it. So then, for all intents and purposes, it was a full shechita. Whereas Rav Kahana Omer Mechza al Mechza Eino Kirov, he said, no, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe is shchod ruba, get through most of those simanim. And therefore, a rov is a rov only if it's a rov. Now, how in the world is Rav going to explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, chatzi echad ba'of, or echad v'chetzi b'behima shchitato psula. But according to Rav, if you claim that Rav really holds that Mechza al Mechza is a rov, why is it possible? I mean, according to Rav, this would be the full equivalent of Ha'avid Le'Ruba. He did it. He did it right by going through Chetzi. You said Chetzi is the full equivalent of rov. You're right. You're right. This is not really a psul in Shchita. The Mishnah was telling us that there's a psul midrabanan, so that even though midiraisa, you cut through half, but since it's very easy to make a mistake in what precisely half would be, so the Rabbanon pasul the Shchita unless it's clearly a rov. So it's pasul midrabanan, dilma lo'ati l'mevat palga, we're afraid that you're going to do these, cute little exact half Shchitas. No, we're not going to eat that. So dilma lo'ati l'mevat palga, we don't want you playing with such tolerances in Shchita. Omer of Katina. Well, I got another braita that's going to show you that Rav doesn't make sense. This is a story of Hilchas Tumah V'Taira. So remember, when it comes to a Kli Cheres, how can you make a Kli Cheres Tohar? You can't put it in a mikvah. What could you do? All you could do is break it. Now, breaking it is not a very useful thing to do, is it? So a smarter way, instead of breaking it, is take one of those diamond-corded saws and cut right through it. So if you cut right through it, you don't have a bunch of little shards of cheres, but you've busted it because you got that smaller piece here, and that piece is going to be tahar, and then you could use that. If you cut into three pieces, you can use all three pieces, right? And that's a lot, makes a lot more sense than just breaking it up and making it useless. Now, suppose you put, what do they call those saws here that they use to, they cut straight through anything? Gosh, I can't remember. Can't remember what they call it.
Chainsaw?
No, it's very, very thin. It cuts through concrete and it cuts through anything. It says it's diamond tipped. What do they call it?
They use bandsaws for meat, Red.
What?
Bandsaws they use for meat. Bandsaws.
Yeah, that's okay. That's meat. We're talking about Kli Cheres. We moved on. You're monofocused over here.
I was about to suggest a lightsaber, Ruby.
Ah, of course, that's what it was. So, if you use your lightsaber and you actually cut your tanur of cheres precisely into two pieces straight down the middle, and now these are exactly the same size. So once you've got a lightsaber, you can also have a measurement that will tell you that it was exactly half. I mean, we're talking about heavy-duty technology over here. So the din is, if they are supposedly exactly the same size, actually both of them are considered to be tamei. Why? Because you cannot be, if you're cutting cheres, you cannot be down to a molecular level precise and make it exactly half. And therefore, it's EF Charlotte's same. You have to treat each half of the ovens as being a whole oven. Wow. Now, what does that tell you? That if you got a better technology, which Naftali was a little bit behind, but the next time we get to Chulin, he'll be able to give us the details. If you could have done it exactly, the mashmaut would be that they're tahorin, right? But how could they be tahorin according to Rav? Am I tahorin? Since according to Rav, half is essentially rov, so then if you do take piece number one, it's half. Exactly. Half is rov, says Rav. Oh my God, so it's still tummy? Yep, still tummy. Oh dear. All right, so I'll take the other half. Nope, the other half is also half. And that part is also rov. So zil hacha ikaruba. And it turns out that the whole thing would be tummy. And you're claiming if it were possible to actually cut it exactly, it would be tar. How does Rav explain that? Says Rav Papa, you might have considered the fact that there's no way to have two roves in one item. A beautiful comeback. So if you're talking about shechita, you need only the rove that was shechted. Fine, but that's the rove that we're interested in. But when you're talking about dinim of Tumah V'Taira, where both pieces are equally important for us to consider whether they're a rove or not, how do you have two roves in one? This is most. And this is most. Okay, so the hostess with the mostess can use either one of these things, but it will be tummy. So Trey Ruby Bechadmana Leka, never heard of two roves in one item. Okay. So I got another brisa for you, all right? We also a brisa that we just spoke about. And it says over there, Shachat Chatzi Gargeret, we just learned this today. If you shechted exactly half of the kana, and then you wait, your shahaba, what is the shear of waiting that passes with shahia? Kidei shechita acheret. And then you finish it, shechita toki shira. No, this doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, shechita toki shira? I mean, iamid mechtzal mechtzal kerov, if you're going to tell me that it was half cut, and then you stopped, so then you made it into a trefa. And therefore, it's the same as cutting through rov. So why would we consider that to be, I don't understand. If you end it up with your chatzi kone pogom over here, why wasn't it trefa? Because, what, you think we're talking about a mammal? Where you stopped after shechting one simen that makes a treif? We're talking about a bird. If you stop after shechting one siman, which according to Rav is what you would do over here, because you shechted most, so there's no shia. You finished the act of shechita by shechting half of that single siman, right? So me savrat b'behema? No, we're talking about over here an oaf, and therefore, of course, it's kosher. Because mimanav shach, look, no matter what the situation is, if you hold like Rav, it's good, and if you hold like Rivka'ana, it's Rav. If you hold mechsa, mechsa is kirov, so then you finished your shechita. Ha'avid le'ruba, and the shechita is over. And if you hold like Rivka'ana, that mechsa, mechsa is not like a rov, so then you didn't do anything. Because a chatzikan upon a pogum is not a dreifus. And therefore, lo avad v'lo kolum. So this has absolutely nothing to do with the machlokas between Rav and Rav Kahana, and Rav, therefore, is untouched by this machloket. And now it would be a shame to stop, because we're just about to knock Rav out of the water. And here's where we get to that. Tashma. I can't blame Alon for having his necessary morning cup of temed at the local temed town restaurant. I shouldn't have gotten you into this, and now I really feel bad, but there are support groups for this problem. So, and you too, Handy, I don't know what you were drinking there. If it wasn't Pepsi, I can think of worse things. So, here's my raya once and for all. Tashma, we obviously did not understand Rob. Hareshahoya chatzi kaneh pagum. Does it really here? You start off with a chatzi kaneh pagum, so it was already half cut. Before they brought it to the sheikhet, and therefore the sheikhet examines it, he sees it's not a trefa, and all it needs is another millimeter, and then it'll be a kosher shechita. Okay, so the sheikhet adds that millimeter. Va'osivel of kosher u'gemara, shechita tok shera. Now, if you really believe that mechza mechza is kerov, when you brought in that chatzi kaneh pogum to the sheichet, he would have said, this is a trefa bird. Get out of here. I'm not going to shecht this. So, yeah, mit mechza mechza kerov, then it's already a trefa. So, obviously, the bright is telling you that mechza mechza is not kerov. The very reference to a chatzi kaneh pogum, which is not a trefa, tells you that rav makes no sense, and that chetzi chetzi cannot be the same as a rov. Says Rav, well, maybe that's only because we're talking about trefas, you know? Trefas is different. I feel a little bad. I'm going over time. It's hard to know where to stop over here. How much leeway are my beloved friends here going to allow me? Can I go to the bitter end?
Go.
There we go.
If this is Rove the Sugi or Rove the Kagula.
But we're going to show, and that's the question. If we read the rest of it, we're going to find out that it's not Rove. Oh. All right, just another few minutes. So, therefore, there may be clearly a difference between a situation of tarfus, you know, because maybe when it's talking about tarfus, and you're telling me a chatzi kaneh pogum makes it treif, it wouldn't. In order to make something treif, it has to be a rov anir ela einayim. You have to be able to see it really as a rov. But that's only benogea tarfus, and that's why over here it's not a treifa. But legabi the din of shechita itself, it could be that Rav is still right. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't leave over the chetzi that wasn't shechted. So maybe for shechita would be kosher. Omele Abayas said it's a kal v'chomer. A trefa, remember, it becomes a trefa with the slightest thing. Not everywhere, but there's lots of things that will become a trefa, even with a tiny hole. There's a tiny hole in the lungs. There's a tiny hole in the intestines. There's a tiny hole in the veshet. That tiny hole is enough to turn the entire animal into tarfus. So even there, where we have this tremendous sensitivity, you are telling me that if you need in one of the trefas a rov, like the case over here of the gargaret, you know, or the spinal cord, wherever you need a rov, it has to be a rov anir le'inayim. So a shechita, for heaven's sakes, is not a very sensitive kind of thing. I mean, adi ikaruba lo miskasha. It's not even important unless you have the rov. So Lokoshe came to be in a rova near Leinai? It's certainly you're going to need a real recognizable rove. Therefore, it is clear nobody in the world would ever have thought that Mechza al Mechza is Karov. When it comes to these dinim, you completely misrepresented Rav's opinion. Kulei Alma, Rav, Rav Kahana, of course Mechza al Mechza is not like a rove when it comes to Shrita. The whole machlokas of Rav and Rav Kahana is brilliant, or makes total sense. It was talking about a case of a Korban Pesach, where you have half of Klal Yisrael are Tameim, and half of Klal Yisrael are Tahirim, and the question is, this, of course, is here because of this week's Parsha, but that depends whether you're living in Chutz La'aretz or not. Now, this is clearly a raya that you're not supposed to be living in Chutz La'aretz, because otherwise, how did the Daf Yomi raise the question of Pesach Sheni after Shavuos? Elamai, you're reading B'ha'alotecha, and therefore we need to have those dinim. Oh my gosh, there's going to be a run on tickets, I see. Anyway, so what would be the din when it comes to Pesach Sheni? So what's normally the halacha? So if you have Rov of Yisrael or Tmeim, then everybody brings a Korban Pesach, Betuma, in the first Pesach in Nisan. If you have only individuals who are Tmeim, Anashim Shayu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam, then the individuals are pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Now what in the world do we do in a case of a half and a half? A disaster. Do they bring a Pesach Rishon and everybody brings it Betuma because half is like a rov? Or do we need to separate them out and we've got some are going to be bringing Betaira and some are going to be bringing Betuma? That's what they were arguing about. Harisha Ya Yisrael Mechza Taorin Mechza Tmeim. So suppose on Yud Dalad of Nisan, we have precisely half and half. There is where Rav said, Mechza al Mechza is the same as having a rov. So therefore, what you have over here is a rov of Tahirin and a rov of Tameim. They're each a tzibur. And we'll see where he's medayik this from in the pasuk. So therefore, the tzibur, who are Tahirin, they bring on Pesach Rishon Betaira. The tzibur, who are Tameim, they bring on Pesach Rishon Betuma. But nobody gets put off to Pesach Sheni because you can't call half of a tzibur individuals. They're not anashim. So we have a fascinating situation where on the same day, you're going to have two Korban Pesachs, one that is going to be for people who are tamei, and the Kohanim can be tameim and so on, and one for total Taira like a normal Pesach. So there Rav is saying, Mechza Mechza is Kirov, Rivkana Omer Mechza Mechza Eino Kirov, and there it's very clear. My time at the Rav, Dichtiv, Ish Ish Kiye Tamei L'Nefesh. So that's where the Torah says only if it's an individual who is Tamei, what does he do? Bachodesh Hasheni, Barbas Hayom, Yasuoto, and so on. But that's only for an individual Ish Ish. A half of the tzibur is not considered to be ish ish, so that means individuals and only individuals are nitra. But if you are half, you're just as chashuv as the other half, and ein tzibur nidachin, and therefore half of the tzibur could not be called an individual. They bring their own Korban Pesach in Pesach Rishon. And that makes a heck of a lot of sense. Nothing to do with the silliness you were talking about, making a half of a kana, the equivalent of a whole kana, with all that led us into Jacob, to the Mishnahs, the price is good, heavens. Everything makes wonderful sense now. Okay, and we do have a hand up from a handy, but we also are running out of time, and so maybe he would be able to send this in. Rabbozai, it has been a very exciting pleasure today to explore all of these amazing dinim. And looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to tomorrow. See you, Bezrat Hashem.